I want to read some verses, please, in the Hebrew Epistle and chapter 9. And we read at verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, in the end of the world or the ages, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now that will suffice for reading. I want you to notice that in our reading tonight we have Christ appearing. His appearing on earth and the purpose for which he came, it was to put away sin. And we're told how he did that, by the sacrifice of himself. And what our passage is emphasizing, that was a once for all experience, never to be repeated. Christ appearing on earth, the greatest event that this world has yet witnessed, was the Creator of all things stooping to earth, and that to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And I like this. The one that appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and the one who took my place upon the cross and bore the judgment that was my due, he now appears in the presence of God, and said the apostle, it's for us. There's one on the throne accepted by God who was upon the cross in my stead. We sing at times, reach my blessed Savior first. Take him from God's esteem. Prove Jesus bears one spot of sin. Then tell me, I'm unclean. The last the world saw of Christ, he hung on a tree of shame. The last the disciples seen of him was as he ascended up out of their midst, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and up and up and up he went, past every principality and power, and he took his seat at the right hand of the Majesty on high. But ere he left his own, he gave a promise, so it's sweet to the believers, and he gave it to comfort their troubled hearts. So he told them he was leaving them in a world that would hate them, and he with the Father, and they to suffer persecution on earth. But he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Notice the purpose, that where I am, there ye may be also, midst the splendor of the glory, which we hope ere long to share. Christ for me is waiting, watching till I come. Do you know the Christian will not be happy or satisfied until we're in his presence and conformed to his likeness? And the glorified Christ upon the throne, he could go no higher. His heart's not satisfied. What's he waiting for? He's waiting to claim his purchased possession from earth. And he's about to appear. Your Bible is the only source from which you can gain a knowledge of what the future of this world is. So don't listen to the statesmen now. They're like the weather. They can change very quickly. But God has declared his purposes for this world. And he has declared his purposes for for the eternal future. And the first event of prophecy that is to be fulfilled is the appearing of Christ for his own to claim the saved of earth. And in a moment, do you know if you found the preacher tiresome and you dozed over, in a moment it could all be over. Oh, the great event. Not a saved person left on earth. No matter where they go on Sunday, those purchased by his blood, they'll rise in response to his shout. And the graves will not hold a body of a saint. He'd claim them for himself. Why? He has purchased them at his first coming. His appearing on earth to put away sin. His appearing now in the presence of God for us. And his appearing, his soon appearing, without sin unto salvation. Did you notice when he appeared? It was at the end of the ages. When man was tried in every age, in every circumstance, and proved a complete disaster, and every age that the world has known has ended in failure. Oh, man was placed in the garden in innocency, in communion with his God, in a scene of plenty. Oh, a bountiful hand of God opened to him with this word, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Oh, my God is a liberal God. He would never shed a tear. He would never have heaved a sigh. He would never have dug a grave. But man disobeyed. And that age of innocency closed with man driven from the presence of God, unfit to dwell with God. And the first offspring, for that's the stock that we come from, and the first one born into this world by way of human generation, the stock that we belong to, he murdered his own brother. There is a principle, you know, in generation that takes the very feet from the myth of evolution. Just one verse in your Bible declares, Adam begat a son in his own likeness. And one of the principles of generation is that Cain begets Cain. And the first one born of our stock manifested the dreadful depravity in the human heart. The age of innocency closed with the fall. The age of conscience, that is, God endowed man with an inward monitor, enabling him to recognize what was right, enabling him to discern what was wrong, but giving him no power to overcome the wrong, and giving him no power to do what is right. And that age finished in the flood. When God looked down upon this scene and saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil and not continually, I think every man is shocked by what the human race is capable of stooping to in action. And do you know that God sees further? For what has come out of the human heart is bad. But what is found in that seat of corruption is worse than ever has been practiced. For said the Savior, out of the heart proceed all manner of evil. And my Bible, that never exaggerates, declares the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's my heart. My dear lady, and your husband thinks the world of you. As God looks upon the human heart, he sees a heart that's desperately wicked. Such is man in his depravity. Then he introduced an age of human government. He gave man authority to govern. And that age ended in the disaster and confusion of Babel. Man proved himself a failure. Yes, we could go through the age of promise. Yes, we could go through the age of law when God declared his dues from the creature that he had created and give it to that favored nation. Oh yes, the boasted of the law that they had, but through breaking the law they dishonored God. Run, John, run, the law demands. It gives me neither feet nor hands. The gospel, better news it brings. It bids me rise, it gives me rings. Man needed something more than the law. And in every age, man proved himself a complete failure. And man proved himself incapable of controlling the evil that's within his heart and rising and bringing pleasure to his God. Man's a complete failure. Calvin was a man that appeared so often before his confessor, burdened with a sin, that on one occasion his confessor said, "Calvin, get out of my sight, I never want to see you again." Someone advised Calvin to get the epistle to the Galatians and to read it. And he got that with great difficulty. And he began to read and he read, "Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things written in the law to do them." And said, "Calvin, I'm a man that the law's cursed." But he read on. And he read, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree." Oh, said Calvin, "Christ has borne the curse that was my due." And he trusted him for salvation. Man needs more than a conscience. Man needs more than the law to instruct him. Man needed a Savior to deliver him. And Christ appeared. Oh, the wonder to those angels. The best. Peter tells us that they still desire to look into it. Do you treasure the gospel? Angels wonder that there ever was a message of gospel to fallen sinners. Angels wonder that God ever devised a plan to bless the fallen creature. And those holy creatures that served in his presence brought the glad tidings. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What did men mean? A lawgiver? To condemn them? What did men need? An instructor. But they couldn't rise to the demands. No, what man needed was a Savior to deliver them. Colonel Irwin was one of the first men to stand on the moon. That was a wonder. I think it was a greater wonder to get back to Earth. But when he came back to Earth, some of the press men got round him. And they said, "Colonel, tell us some of the wonders. A man has been to the moon." "Oh," said Colonel Irwin, "the greatest wonder is not that a man has been to the moon, but," he said, "that the one that made the moon, he has been to earth. And friend, he came lower than angels to die in our stead. He came to save sinners." "Oh," said the apostle, "this is a faithful saying." And said, "he is worthy of all acceptation." Said the apostle, "it's worthy of wholehearted acceptance." Said he, "no man should hesitate to embrace its truth." What is it, Paul? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He didn't stop there. He said, "of whom I am chief." What enables a man to embrace salvation? Just when he takes the place of a sinner. And God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we had reformed our ways, in that when we had turned over a new leaf, no, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when man is seen as a complete failure, one appeared. And he appeared to put away sin. Yes, our passage is emphasizing that this is a once for all experience. And how did he deal with sin? Oh, he went about doing good, said Peter, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He touched the eyes of a blind man and gave him his sight. He rose and he rebuked the angry seas, and immediately there was a great calm. But to take away my sin, he offered himself without spot unto God by the sacrifice of himself. As he told his disciples that he must needs suffer, the necessity of the cross, said Peter, I'm ready to die with you. But it was that man who took up his pen and he wrote to his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree. No, said Peter, there was none that shared that work. Alone upon the cross he hung, that others he might save. Forsaken then by God himself. Alone his life he gave. And he appeared for a purpose. At the end of the ages. And it was to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And when he did that work, he declared, it is finished. Do you want rid of your sins tonight, friend? Would a work that satisfied God not satisfy you? Could you honestly tell me any reason why you couldn't trust him? For he did it by the sacrifice of himself. And we love to sound, not a mite was left unpaid when he our judgment bore. Perfect in himself, we challenge any oncomer to find a fault in the Savior that we preach. And the work that he completed when he put away sin was as perfect as the one who did it. Where is he now? No, we don't preach a Savior on the cross, friend. We preach a Savior on the throne. It seemed to be Satan's hour of victory. They took a lifeless form down from the tree. I believe Nicodemus and Joseph did it with tears. Yes, said Nicodemus, he told that to meet my need he must be lifted up. Now the man who heard the necessity of the uplifted Christ, he was honored to take that precious form down from the cross, take those cruel spikes from his hands and feet. And I don't believe a mother ever laid her firstborn in a more tender way than those two laid that precious form in a new tomb. And they put a huge stone upon the mouth. And they sealed the stone and they set a watch. I want to tell you, all the power of the Roman Emperor couldn't keep him in the grave. For the third day and early in the morning, said the angel, he's not here. He's risen. Death had no claim upon him. And up from the grave he arose. Yes, and up from the midst of his own he went up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. Past every principality and power. You know, he came lower than angels to meet our need. He went right down into the depths of suffering to put away our sin. And the one who went to the depths of suffering for our sin, he's gone higher than the heavens.
And he now appears in the presence of God for us.
Oh, he's there to represent his people, you know. But more than that, he's there as a foreigner. And Christ, having entered in by his own blood, is the assurance that all who have trusted him and cleansed by his blood will enter those courts above. And he now appears in the presence of God for us. One morning I got an account. In our part, we pay what is called ground rent. We own our home, but we don't own the ground that's under it. And half yearly we have to pay a small rent, they call it. But when I got my account, I noticed arrears. How could it be I failed to pay my last 6 months? Because even I could make a mistake, you know. But I got my checkbook out, and I wrote a check for that amount. And then the banks in those days sent back the checks. And I got the check, and I saw the check with the stamp of the bank upon it. I'll pay my bills, but you'll be a clever one if you get it the second time. What did I do? Did I pay it again? No, I wrote across the statement, a check to this amount went through your bank on such and such a date. Friend, there's one accepted in the presence of God. God satisfied. And he has been to the cross and he has paid my debt. God satisfied. And friend, I'm satisfied that my need is met. And there's a receipt in glory that the debt is paid and cancelled to the divine satisfaction. And he's about to appear. You know, I'm not as young as I used to be, but I'm not looking forward to dying. And I have a feeling I might never have to die. And just in a moment, changed into his likeness, he's about to appear and claim his own. Do you know, I'd say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, this very night. But we had a choice sister in our country. She was dying. One of the brethren went to visit her. And he said, you know, May, you might never have to die because the Lord's coming. No, she said, I'd rather die because, you know, I wouldn't like to leave Ruth behind. She says, I'd rather die than leave the girl I love in her sins. Bright prospect for the believer. Dreadful experience to realize I'm left and the door is forever closed. Do you know, friend, I think if you're wise at all, you should get in tonight and be sure of salvation. May God help you.